This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, post-show edition, as we are reacting to Grand Slam, which just wrapped up in New York. I'm Gabe Nutz from ESPN Milwaukee. With me tonight, we have Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Jonathan Hood could be here at some point to give his reactions as well. He said he's going to try to make it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need a little bit of an overrun here, but we'll see what, see if Hoodie arrives. But let's just start. It's an easy thing. So Grand Slam, always one of the biggest events for AEW on television. What was the grade for tonight for you?
So obviously high hopes coming in. I think you start off the bat with Brian and Nigel, and like as a wrestling fan, like that nostalgia was fun. Like the fact that you got that reaction just from a lockup, like it was one of those moments you're like, all right, this is a lot of fun. There were some highs. I loved the tag match. The main event was good. The crowd didn't seem very into it. And you had MVP make a surprise appearance, which Tony was able to have a surprise without announcing he had a surprise. So kudos to Tony for pulling that
Growth.
Off.
Growth.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of grade, I don't know if it's just because like, yeah, commercials or whatever. I go B plus. Good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't think it was spectacular. I mean, yeah. I think the AEW Women's World Championship match kind of was a lull in there.
Yeah.
The FTW match, I was kind of hoping it would be better with Roddy Strong and and Hook. Although you did get, I mean, it was a great moment. You saw Taz tearing up after when they retired the FTW Championship. So I think that certainly got a reaction. Again, hoping for a little bit more from the match. But even like the ending of Danielson and Knight and Nigel after the match when Christian comes out, but then he gets chased off, Kip Sabian grabs the pen, but he chases off, and I don't know why they were back, like standing there with Pac and Claudio. I mean, there were just a couple of weird moments that would prevent it from getting in it, but overall, it was an enjoyable 2 hours of television. I'm with you. I think it was a B. You know, if you wanted to give it a B plus, I'm not going to argue with that. But and I'll tell you what, the crowd showed up. Did they get 20,000 like they did the first time? No, but they ended up getting over 8,000 people.
Right.
Like that's still a good crowd for any wrestling show anywhere. I think WWE on Monday night announced a sellout of just over 9,000 from wherever they were for Raw. So like, I mean, 8,000 people, again, I know it's a far cry from what it was, but I think that AEW is learning that they can't always go back to these same places outside of Chicago. Right.
Down a little bit.
That is down because they go back there so much. Like, you can only do so much. You know, you're just bleeding the city dry. But, that's down a little bit. Which is why I think they're taking the Grand Slam moniker someplace else. And they're going to be doing that in Australia. You know, they're taking All In. They're going to try to do that in Texas. Like, they're starting to realize, okay, yeah, that was like the reason why we got, I don't know what the actual number was, right? They're going to say 80,000, whatever the actual number ended up being 2 years ago in Wembley, because London was starved for professional wrestling.
Right.
You know, so they wanted to be there for the first one, and you still got a really good crowd the second time back, but you, just like WWE does, you have to move these things around. You can't be reliant on one city, one fan base to continuously show up, you know, year in and year out for big events. That the reason why, you know, a lot of people would show up in Milwaukee for a Royal Rumble is we've never had one, right? Like, but if they had it here every year, it's going to have diminishing returns. So, I mean, again, I think they're learning, and they still ended up having, a pretty good crowd tonight. We'll see. And I know the collision taping's now going on, so we'll see how the crowd, you know, how much the crowd sticks around for that and all that, you know, come Saturday. But tonight's show, very solid.
Yeah, and I think overall it does boil down to, like, we are spoiled at times. Like, we know every month now with the pay-per-views, it's going to be an A-plus, A to an A-plus show. And there are those Wednesdays where it's like, oh, that was an A show right there from top to bottom. This felt like a little step down from that, but still a good show to get the Bryan match. Like, you had the audio issues, which I feel like AEW production is always going to be a thing, but, like, cutting out the audio when you're trying to get Nigel saying thank you, like, that was a really cool moment for the wrestling dorks, which you see it here in the comments. It felt like a love letter to ROH, ECW, and PWG. Completely agree there. And the tag match. We talked about it last week. The Bucks recently feel like they're sort of going through the motions. I don't know if it's just being in the ring with Ospreay and Fletcher and that does it, that was a damn good Bucks match tonight. And that was
no, but you got you got the, I mean, so I think it was a suplex or superplex off the top into the Canadian Destroyer, into the Hidden Blade, you know, like they just, that's a typical, like that is a sequence that you see in a Young Bucks match.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
And that's what people got excited for during the course of that match. And honestly, I didn't see the Don Callis, and then I thought somebody would come out and cost them,
right,
other than just like Don Callis doing, you know, doing the thing that Will Ospreay has always disagreed with, which is why he got away from the Don Callis family, which, continuity. All right.
Yeah, storytelling. Yeah.
Hey, there we go. So yeah, I mean, again, that was a really fun match. I think that was probably the match of the night. You know, because even Danielson, I wish Daniel, even though it went like 20 minutes, I feel like almost Danielson, 30, Nigel, could have, it could have still gotten more.
Right. Right.
I guess they could have gone more and I'd have been fine with it, but they only have, you know, 2 hours of television.
No, I agree. That was cool. Like the handstand spot I thought was pretty cool. Like those guys finding innovators, teasing the ring post spot without actually doing the ring post spot. Kudos to those guys. I did not think they had the maturity to do that. I thought for sure we would see heads rammed into the metal ring post. So shout out to them for, you know, just sort of teasing it and not actually doing what they did back in the day.
Not actually.
Good job, guys.
Not actually doing that, especially with somebody who's, you know, already announced that he's got neck surgery somewhere, somewhere down the line for him. And yeah, that's, you know.
But it's okay. If you read the internet today, Steve Austin says in the Vince doc that CTE isn't real. So, you know, we got that going.
He what?
Yeah, he did say that. He doesn't believe in that. So,
I mean,
wrestling logic.
Okay, all right. I mean, you can believe. I guess you can believe it still exists, Steve.
Sure, like, yeah.
I guess you can believe in it or not believe in it, but it's a real thing. Like I work with somebody who's, you know, like hoping to, you know, fend it off on a daily basis.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I digress. no, if this is the last time that they're in Arthur Ashe for a while, look, do I think they're going to eventually come back here? Yes, I do. Because AEW isn't going anywhere anytime soon. They're you know, going to be announcing these TV deals anytime soon, right? Like, they're going to be around a while. I think it's a good thing if they're not, at this time, back at Arthur Ashe next year. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing for the company.
Yeah, and I think overall, like you mentioned, the tapings are going on now. Collision's going to add to it, mainly because we're going to get Beast Mordos and Hologram in a ring together. And there's a third guy in that match who ultimately will eat that pin. But those two in the ring together, I'm excited about that on Saturday. So you still got more to look forward to at Arthur Ashe.
I thought you were looking forward to the Saraya Rules match.
Not quite. No.
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 Saraya can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine on Saturday. Good job of them not putting Jericho on Wednesday. I was a little worried about that. You just got a conglomeration promo and we called it a night. I'm good with that decision.
Well, and a big addition to the conglomeration.
Yeah.
Added Rocky Romero. Didn't know he was still around.
But he didn't follow the rules. You're supposed to storm away with the promo and leave Orange. He's going to catch on.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. Again, he's new. They've got to go through the initiation process.
Right.
He only got the t-shirt tonight, right? Like, baby steps. Baby steps for the conglomeration. But yeah, it was – like how do we feel about this Mina Shakira part of the storyline with Mariah May? I'm not as familiar of Mariah's time in Japan, and I suppose I can look it up. But
I mean, they gave us a little tease of it with the Tony stuff that like they teamed together. There's sort of a relationship there, but like I don't know. I feel like Mariah's still sort of missing Tony in terms of storytelling.
Yeah,
something's missing there right now.
Well, because she's still doing. Like the Storm Zero is the finisher, right? Like there's
right.
So, I mean, the fact that she's still using that, it feels like, you know, we're just treading water until Toni Storm comes back for her revenge.
Right. And doing the weird, we're like, oh, like she's sort of a line and she's a face, but she's a heel, but this, but that, like there's too much like confusion. I feel like right now, if we ultimately get Mariah and Willow, which I feel like they were planting that seed tonight. If we get that in a couple weeks, I'm good with that. Like, we get that at Wrestle Dream. That's a step in the right direction. So hopefully that's where we're headed.
Yeah, sign me up for that. Yes.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that. Would be much better than the women's match, I think, that we ended up watching tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall we had a pretty good show.
Yeah,
for AEW.
We got Bryan versus Nigel. We got Darby bleeding within 10 seconds of the main event. The MVP thing was a nice surprise.
You know like, what? We can talk about that for a little bit because I mean, it was a really good promo. Like again, shocking. MVP gave a good promo, right? Like I know this is guy you know who's really good with a microphone, but just like the way he also teased everything, you know, hey, if you want to talk, and like he gave the little pause, business, right? Like so teasing that, hey, I'm not here alone,
right? Yeah, I think that was good. Swerve, I saw actually tweet out just a picture of a Nana like sipping his coffee, so sort of teasing that. I would be okay with like sort of a split up of Nana and Swerve, and maybe we see a heel Swerve when eventually he comes back. I know there's some reports that maybe he will be back sooner than later. I feel like he needs to be part of that Wrestle Dream show, being in its hometown or home state. But I like what they're doing there. I think there is some potential there with MVP.
But I don't want if he turns on Nana. Make it 6 months from now.
Okay.
Like, don't make it right away at Wrestle Dream. Like, I think you could really drag this out. Like, okay. And I'm cool. And again, Swerve's at a point now, especially with, you know, this contract that he signed that's bad for the business. That might be my favorite story all year, by the way. Like, that might be my favorite story. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, somebody in Major League Baseball, man, that Shohei Ohtani contract is bad for baseball. Like, I'll pay the man. Like, I don't know what you mean, want.
Don't we see it in football with the Watson deal? Isn't that what we saw owners huffing and puffing about? How dare they give someone so much money?
Like, that is true.
It happens.
But, I mean, to me, it's how do they give that guy so much money? Well, exactly. But I digress. Yes, this is not a football show. We could dive into that. But like, to me, I think that Swerve can go on a losing streak here.
Sure.
Right? To tell this story, especially if, you know, if what MVP is teasing and that Bobby Lashley is not far behind.
Right.
If Bobby Lashley versus Swerve happens at Wrestle Dream, like as Bobby Lashley's first AEW match, like Bobby Lashley's going over. Like in order for Swerve to dump Nana, to me, he has to go on a losing streak, but a long losing streak because of how just tied those guys are together. Like, oh, he lost once to Bobby Lashley. Now he's going to like, no, I think they've established a connection, especially with him tweeting out his support tonight. Like, I think there would take a long losing streak, a long courtship of MVP before he actually dumped Nana. And again, if you can tell that long-term story, I think that would be more impactful for when he actually would leave Nana.
I'd be fine with that. I don't know if it's wishful thinking and thinking there still is something in the tank, but a Swerve for Shelton Benjamin match down the line, if that's part of this story, I'm good with that as well. I think Shelton still has some that he can go. Maybe.
If I had to bet, does Shelton Benjamin have something left in the tank? My answer is yes.
Okay. So him versus
my answer is yes.
Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, here's the problem if you bring Shelton Benjamin along, though. It just feels like he's riding along.
Sure.
Like, you know, you've got MVP, you've got Bobby Lashley. It's like those, the meme with like the three dragon heads, right. You know, and like the two are serious and the one's just like really good. Like, it just doesn't belong. Like, sure. It just doesn't feel like Shelton Benjamin necessarily belongs.
I just feel like Shelton at his peak, it's been so long since we've seen it that maybe we're just sort of underestimating him.
Look, maybe you're right. Like, yeah, again, do I think Shelton Benjamin can put on good matches? Yes. Do I think he can make me interested in him putting in those good matches? I do not.
Okay. All right. That's fair. But that's what MVP's there for. He's the one that's going to work the mic.
That's true.
And then Shelton's going to go in the ring and do his thing.
Yeah. Like, do we have to ask MVP to do that heavy lifting right away? Like, come on, man. Like, just let him ease into the new job. Let him ease into the new gig. But again, good on them for keeping that secret. Meanwhile, we have a, look at that. Speaking of secrets, here he is, Jonathan Hood.
You know, guys, you know, hearing the conversation about MVP, yes, that was a great surprise. But the last thing AEW needs is more middle-aged wrestlers that formerly were in WWE.
Honestly, what if he doesn't wrestle? What if he's just a manager?
No shot at Shelton Benjamin, because you guys were just talking about it. Like, but that's not what AEW needs. I think all the three of us know it's about youth. You have enough on that roster to be able to have great matches. So you don't necessarily need the reprisal of the Hurt Business as it was in WWE and AEW.
That's what the rumors are.
Oh, I know. But it's Tony Khan. It's not a surprise. It's just like, but I don't, like, The only guy that I would want is Lashley because he's
100%
and ageless.
I'm the opposite, and that's the one that I don't want of those three.
Really? I mean, Lashley, again, Lashley looks like he did 20 years ago, man. Like, I don't understand how it works. Like, I want whatever he's got. Give me the anti-aging thing.
Those three take up TV time in the learning tree?
You know, bro, this is why we don't understand you. I mean, Bobby Lashley's not hurt anybody. You know what I'm saying?
The Hurt Business better than learning tree. I'd rather the Hurt Business on TV. I'll accept Lashley.
But the anti-Lashley, so, I mean, that's just your fandom right there. There's nothing wrong with Lashley. He's never hurt anybody. He's timeless. He's solid in the ring. He's just another guy to me.
He's another big muscle guy.
Yeah, this is the problem. In Brian's mind, Bobby Lashley is the prototypical Vince McMahon guy, right? Yes, exactly. Like, that's in Brian's mind, that's bad.
Yes, I agree. That's it. That sums it up.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Lashley being AEW, but if you know AEW, big guys don't get over anyway.
He's going to win like his first two matches and then go on a 50-match losing streak.
Yep. Big win for Kip Sabian over him.
In that company, that gets over. That's for sure. Yeah.
Kip's in a big spot. He was in a world title story tonight.
I mean, that's true. You know what? This might be a B-. You know what? You might have talked me into downgrading the show to a B-.
I think that's about right, Gabe. I think that's right. Just briefly, because I know we got to move on. Yeah. This just my overall thought is, so you put the match that we all anticipated first. Mm-hmm. That's not main event quality, Nigel against Bryan Danielson. Why was it first? Why was that not the main event? It should have been switched, the main event and the first match, because the anticipation is Bryan coming out. And so for whatever reason, Tony Khan put it first. And it's kind of like, well, that's exactly what I tuned in. I didn't tune in for anything else beside that. So I was just disappointed in that. So
I feel like the Bryan run-in, you needed that last to do the interaction with Mox there at the end. And the necktie.
Okay.
I'm trying to give you some logic.
I guess you're right, Brian, because it wasn't like this was a world title match.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like it should have been, which is just ridiculous for that New York crowd. Imagine if you build this right, this could have been, it's been built on one side with Nigel McGuinness this whole time. Imagine 2 or 3 month build. Now what would the crowd be like in New York?
I agree.
Unbelievable.
Well, gentlemen, we move on to the three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. And earlier today, you guys had the opportunity to catch up with the undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. As SmackDown is coming to Milwaukee, here is what the WWE champ had to say earlier today.
We promoted it. Welcome back to Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz. I'm Jonathan Hood, here for ESPN Milwaukee. Pfizer Forum, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Tickets available for the big show, SmackDown. Go to Ticketmaster or WWE.com. And, Brian, we have a friend of the program returning to Good Karma Wrestling.
The champ is here.
The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, the undisputed WWE champion, joins us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Cody, welcome back. Jonathan and Brian, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It's nice to be referred to as a friend of the show.
Yeah.
You know, that means we did all right the last time. You know, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't WWE champion last time, though. Huh?
That's right. Now you're the champ. Now you're a bigger deal.
Yes.
All new me, guys. All new me. I'm a total jerk. Total jerk. Everything changes. Just rotten. So good luck.
Yeah, that's not true. how's life for you right now? Right now at this moment?
Oh, I mean, really, truthfully, and I've said this a lot when the cameras go off and we have our moments with the crowds at the end of the night. It's really the honor of my life doing this and to be able to be the quarterback of WWE throughout its just ridiculously most prolific run is not a chapter of my career that I knew I was even going to get. I think from the outside looking in, you almost can look at it and go, that was always the plan. But truthfully, the fact that the North Star to our game sits right here, and that I was a Crockett kid, a WCW kid, and I now am able to take this everywhere and represent the company, it's special. If I had any complaints, I would kick myself for having them, just because this is what you always wanted, right? It's right there. Take it.
Well, what's that pressure like? Because you refer to yourself as QB1, but most QB1s get an off season. You don't have that. You've been going full go since Mania. What's that pressure like?
You ever see where the presidents get really old? You know what I'm saying? Like, Obama looked like 29, and then all of a sudden he was 45 in the first 2 years in office, or whatever it is, for whatever it may be. I will say that's the amount of pressure. And again, I had a lifetime to prepare for it, and didn't. It's like it was all there. Like, oh yeah. So I think my favorite part of it is now I have like a, gosh, it's, again, we're talking presidential, but I have like a cabinet of people who help me with everything now. And that is just, I'm really blessed. I was telling WWE President Nick Khan that the other day. I am so blessed. Someone to help me with social, someone to write my calendar out, someone to do, just that we can have these conversations every Friday Night SmackDown about where the WWE champ needs to be, what we need to do next, what shows we're going to, and they've really kind of molded that into how I would do it. So it's an incredible amount of pressure. My gosh. Again, I hope I don't age to the degree that you see those dudes age, but it's pressure I want.
SmackDown comes to five-star form in Milwaukee on November 15th. We're talking to Cody Rhodes here on Good Karma Wrestling. Cody, is there anything in wrestling that comes close to the stories that you've been involved in since being in WWE? You're a wrestling fan, so I know that you know them all.
I think my story, gosh, you see a lot of, I don't know, let's say, like rehashes, you know, and then are tributes. And sometimes you can take something that was done, what's old can be new again, and you can do it all over. But for me, I feel like there's nothing, my story is incredibly unique because it's rooted in full reality and it's exists prior to me. It's a very long form tale going from 1977 to 1978 with Dusty and Superstar and the WWF Championship. It's a very long tale that is incredibly real in a world where we suspend disbelief. If anything, it just feels like, it feels almost like Game of Thrones in wrestling, truthfully, in terms of gosh, the little bite at the top of my song, wrestling is more than one royal family. I don't think it was ever intended to be as real as it is. And I mean that in the positive for me, but also in the crosshair that I have on my back from, if you take a look at like the bloodline, or if you take a look at any of these families, now I'm not QB number one, I'm enemy number one. And it just, it feels very much like that's become as real as it ever could be. But yeah, I can't think of anything that compares. Can you guys?
No, because it's, what you said is rooted in reality. Going, talking about your dad, and then being the champion, and then what's going on with Roman, that's all, and The Rock, it's all there. So we think it's the most real thing that we see in wrestling, which we as fans love.
Oh, it's at its best when there's that element of, my buddy Stephen Amell told me this the other day, that element of authenticity, right? And the moment, I'll know the moment I'm disingenuous. And there's been plenty of times I've said something that was off the path for me. And now, like, that's the number one thing. Staying on brand for me is staying authentic.
You know, talking about finishing that story, who is in that locker room or coming up through that locker room do you see as being that next person that you would love to see get that moment? We saw Jey Uso on Monday get his first individual title. Who are some of those guys you look at say, hey, that's going to be an awesome finishing of the story also?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm very impressed with Braun. And again, shout out to Jay for what he did. That story with Jay, that's just a chapter in his story. I see him continuing upwards. But I look at somebody, and again, not my favorite person, and don't really know him well. And what I know of him, he's not the nicest dude. But I look at somebody like a Dom Mysterio, and there you have it. Such, I mean, this guy was involved in a match for his own custody as a child, and now is this wonderfully, he's a great contributor to WWE in terms of whether they're booing him out of the building or not. We like that. That's an awesome thing to see. And him and Liv have had an incredible story. Dom is somebody that if I'm looking at a story I want to watch and I know, hey, I can tune into WWE in 15 years, I expect to see him in a completely different light. Nothing like what we have now. A completely different light and a full evolution of his character.
Like we said, the only heel to turn heel.
There, hey, you have to be pretty confident if you ever do that.
Cody, I don't like to borrow questions from other podcasts or shows, but I do have to ask you something that we didn't talk to you about the last time, because we don't know if we're going to get another bite of the apple anytime soon. So I'll ask this. How much does it mean to you, and I know you see these memes like we do, for the person that you are, the family man that you are, your background, that African-American fans relate to you as much as they do, that they could see you standing with Dr. King, they could see you on the pedestal at Selma, standing with Malcolm X. When you first saw that, what was your reaction? And what would that say that fans across the country and around the world, especially African-American fans, relate to you and your family?
I'm always really careful because that's not a choice I can make. It's a choice that they've made, and it is... I'm touched about it, hearing about it now, solely because I don't know what I did. You know, my dad's biggest fan base was African American, especially in the South. And I felt like I could see things that maybe he did where they could relate. For me, I don't know if I am relatable, but the choice to do that and to put their arm around me and let me in, gosh, I just want to make sure I do everything right to honor said choice. I don't take it lightly by any means. I'm not the one saying it. It's thank you. And I would never take something like that for granted, because that really is, in addition to being fun when you see all that stuff, it's incredibly touching. And I hope I can continue to do whatever I do to earn it in the first place.
Fiserv Forum, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Tickets available right now. Ticketmaster.com, WWE.com. SmackDown's coming to Milwaukee on November 15th. Champ, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Good Karma Wrestling.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully, speak to you guys again down the road. Thank
you. I mean, that's twice now for Cody. Is he technically friend of show?
He is, sir. He is a okay. friend. He's definitely a friend of Milwaukee. That is for sure. The only time we can get him is when WWE's coming to Milwaukee. And you talk about a company that knows how to do it right. AEW does not do Milwaukee right, but WWE does a great job of saying, hey, we're coming to Fiserv Forum. And, you know, if the Bucks are around, they'll be around. And the Packers, it's going to be great. I know in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And yeah, I did some research today for another teammate, but basically, you know, the Packers are on the road. The Bucks are out of town. Badgers don't play the next day. Good scheduling with their Milwaukee schedule this time around.
Huh. Funny how that's actually possible and how you can do that. Again, November 15th, right here in my hometown, Milwaukee. Can't wait for SmackDown to be in town. Who knows? Maybe it'll be 3 hours by then. I guess we'll have to wait and see. More on that coming up in just a little bit. But what do we have this week in the number two in the three count, Brian?
All right, let's do a little suspending of disbelief. Some contract news this week. Sean Ross Sapp says Kevin Owens' deal set to expire early 2025. AEW expected to be interested. No news on a new deal there yet. Also, AJ Styles' deal set to be up either late this year or early next. Sean Ross says not certain that the WWE has any current plans for him. So who would you rather see make the jump to AEW, Kevin Owens or AJ Styles?
Maybe it's just recency bias, but I think the answer is Kevin Owens. Like, AJ's 47 years old. I don't know what AJ has left in the tank. And I think he's kind of hinted at that. I think even the last when he signed the current contract he has, I think he kind of hinted like, this could be it. This could be my last contract I sign. So maybe he could just ride off. I don't know. But Kevin Owens at 40 years old still, and again, with his relationship with the Young Bucks, I think he could do some really interesting things. Whereas I feel like they were just trying to like, do basically what they tried to do with AJ at different times and just do like cheap Bullet Club knockoff stuff in AEW. And I already saw him do that in WWE. So no, thank you.
You think those guys should follow him? Are they still employed by WWE?
Yeah, they were in the tag gauntlet match a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Good for them.
Gallus and Anderson?
Yeah.
Correct, yes.
They were just on NXT on Tuesday, and I flipped over to a ball game when I saw them on TV. if we want to see, by the way, AJ Styles and AEW, we don't need to see that. We already got Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. They're all like a tribute band.
Yeah.
Styles. I mean, they're
got doing double Styles clashes tonight.
They're doing double.
I mean, would I pay money to see AJ Styles versus Will Ospreay? Of course I would. Like, I mean, come on. Of course I would do that. I mean, yes. Would I want to see that? I think everybody would want to see that.
We're seeing it all the time. Half the moves we see from Will Ospreay is from AJ Styles. So I guess the answer would be Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, who I saw on ROH, man, as Kevin Steen. Kill Steen Kill. Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal, man. He was a indie darling. And I would say that, man, he's gotten so close to the WWE and Triple H. I don't see him leaving, but if he does, that would not surprise me. Just give him new challenges, maybe another 3-4 years, and who knows?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying not to get my hopes up. He feels like a WWE lifer at this point. But him getting an indie-style run on a national stage like AEW is so damn exciting to think about. Like, if they're saying early next year, I've sort of pinpointed like that Japan show is the end of Bryan. Give me heel Kevin Steen to end Bryan. Like, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, and also Kevin is very close to his family. Mm-hmm. I think he's living in Florida. Yeah. I think he is. But anytime, Gabe, that you sign up for AEW, you know that's fewer dates.
Right.
I don't care how much TV's coming. It's fewer dates. And even though WWE is going to go down to, can we talk about 200 dates?
Yeah, a lot fewer, yeah.
But a lot fewer in AEW, and that means more family time. I think that means something to Kevin as well.
Yeah, like, I think his kid's starting wrestling training soon. His kid's like between 16 and 18. He's taller than KO, but he's starting to get into wrestling training. So maybe you can spend some more time with him.
Maybe.
It's not going to happen. Like, again, no. KO is the first. He was like the first public Triple H guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
when Triple H pedigreed Seth Rollins and allowed KO to pin him, like that shocked the world, right? Like, KO is a Triple H guy. I can't imagine him ever leaving WWE.
But also, like, and maybe it's just the fact that, like, KO is just a good dude. But, like, he essentially helped create AEW. Like, the story is when Cody left WWE, he reached out to the Bucks and say, hey, take this guy in. And that sort of formed that relationship. And, you know, Cody getting the KO stamp of approval is what led to the Bucks taking him in. And then, you know, the rest is history after that. And that might just be he's just a super nice guy and one of those guys. But maybe there is that itch of, like, oh, I can do some of the things Bryan does. Like, we've seen what he does in WWE. Like, he's gotten to the peak. I don't think we see that again. Like, he got the title shot a few months ago, but, like, I don't know if we're ever going to see KO as a world champ again in the WWE.
Yeah, I don't know if he's fine with that. I mean, because he's still a main event player in WWE.
Sure.
Like, he's still getting so much television time in WWE, despite not being someone that I think the three of us look at as, oh, yeah, I mean, you could heat him up and challenge for a world championship, sure. But I don't see him as a future world champion as well. Like, maybe down the line they give him another one, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Having said that about AJ Styles, I don't know any other challengers for him in WWE on the main roster. Do you? I think I've seen everything I need to see from AJ Styles in the main roster.
I know you always try and think of like the young guys if there's like a new fresh matchup there, but like him, Braun, him, Carmelo, like.
Ah. A best of five with Carmelo. That'd be good for AJ Styles. What?
I actually thought you'd be higher on Styles here, Hood. I feel like you're more of a fan of his.
I love AJ Styles. I love them. I actually love them both. That's a hard question because I saw them both in ROH. I saw them both in Indy. So I enjoy them both. I really do. But since we have to choose, I just chose Kevin Steen.
and it also feels like it's maybe recency bias because we haven't seen AJ since right after WrestleMania. He, you know, did the quick challenge with, you know, for the championship with Cody, and he's been off television ever since.
Then, like the one Japan match. I think you won that match too, right?
Oh yeah, where he worked for Noah.
I think so. Like the one match, and then he's just been gone.
Right.
You know, I just I think that the WWE, even though Triple H loves his veterans, I think it leans more toward the young guys like the Grayson Waller and Carmelo Hayes and guys like that, the future of the company.
Well, yeah, because honestly, if AJ's not on TV right now and TKO the way they are, I'm guessing AJ Styles isn't cheap.
Right.
You know, I don't think he's going to be one of your least expensive contracts. Like, would it be shocking to me if AJ Styles would be available for AEW pickup? It would not. It would be shocking if they let KO walk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be exciting, though. Like, we saw what they did with Joe, because like, I feel like KO's not the big guy. They could find a way to use him. Try not to get my hopes up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, he's Kevin Owens, man. Like, wherever he goes, he's going to shine. Like, it's just, I just don't think he's, WWE would be, that would be the first time that I think it would be foolish that they didn't match whatever AEW was offering.
Yeah.
What if AEW offers, you know, game-changing money that's ruining the business, like you talked about earlier with Swerve?
Oh, well, game changer, they don't pay anything.
Oh, good point. They pay Cardona.
I'm sorry, that's a different conversation. I'm sorry.
Different conversation. We don't have to worry about that right now. What do we got at number three this week?
All right. We saw earlier tonight on Grand Slam, John Moxley beating Darby Allin, which means he's the new number one contender for the AEW world title. He'll be taking on Bryan Danielson at WrestleDream. Does Bryan drop the title at WrestleDream?
Your guy.
Heel Mox.
He looked good, man. He looks good. He don't sell shit.
Nope.
Ooh, man.
Well, look at the size of him.
Yeah.
Look at the size of him. Look at the size of Darby. I mean, there's not much selling that needs to happen.
I mean, even with Private Party, he didn't sell anything. They hit him in the face, and he was like Road Warrior Hawk.
Have we confirmed Darby's still alive from this match? Like, I mean, that spot out of the concrete, like the spot outside the ropes, like it felt like an extra level of Darby tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't in the ring, so at least they rolled the carcass out of the ring. Okay. So, yeah, I feel like Mox is the one who ends Bryan Danielson's career. As I watched the match, I was trying to figure out, okay, is it going to end at WrestleDream? Is it going to end in Bryan Danielson's home state? Which would be such a WWE thing to do, by the way. Because like you can't ever win your hometown in WWE. Obviously they do it differently in AEW. But if we know Danielson needs the surgery, we've talked about how, you know, it would be nice if they had somebody young that would seemingly be ready to be the world champion of the company, get that huge rub off of Bryan Danielson. That young person doesn't exist right now. We've discussed that, doesn't exist. But if you can transfer mega heat to Moxley by him being the one to end the career of Danielson, and you build up Mox to be this mega heel, this unbelievably, then you can have a really good babyface chasing story for potentially one of these young guys. You know, whether Daniel Garcia sticks around and he starts heating up and, you know, he wants to avenge, you know, his idol's career and that loss, he wants to avenge it, or whoever wants to step up. I think you could still tell a long enough meaningful story, because unfortunately with the reality of the situation, Danielson's story isn't going to be long because of the pending surgery he needs. I think that's the way you kind of do it. You transfer the heat over to Mox, you turn him into a mega heel, and you're able to tell a compelling babyface story to chase him down.
Hood, before you go, can I throw out another name to add there as a potentially off the beaten path? He was chanted for tonight, didn't make the run. What about Yuta being the guy to end it? Yuta helps him in Washington, and then you build him up, and Hood is not a fan based on facial reaction, and then it's Yuta. That is the surprise world champ that gets the run for ending Bryan.
That sounds great, Brian. But you have to have some kind of build. It just can't come out of nowhere.
Sure. He's going to do a run-in. They were chanting for him tonight, so there's enough of a build there. And then it was a letdown when you got Private Party and Commander.
Commander.
Yeah. Not a lot of buzz there. So you get him to run out at Wrestle Dream. He saves Brian. He costs Mox. You do Yuta and Mox for a month or two, and then you eventually get to Yuta and Brian.
Okay, Brian. Danielson's not wrestling for a long time. Like you need to come to grasp that you can't just like, oh, we'll tell this story and then we'll come back to it. No, there's no coming back to it. The man needs neck surgery. His career is ending soon.
I don't believe him. Has he been to Australia before? Maybe he wants to see Australia next year. I think he's lying to us about his neck.
You're going to have to close the book on Danielson. Okay? now you're being embarrassing.
You believe him? The man says he likes to lie, and that's where we're at.
He needs neck surgery.
All right.
I mean, now I'm wondering, guys, like, okay, so it's set up, Tacoma. John Moxley against Bryan Danielson. Now when I think about it, it makes sense because now it's BCC against BCC, and it's going to be a grudge feud. Okay, so will we get one match out of this? Are you sure the end is Tacoma? Are you sure it's not World's End? Where is that? Was that Orlando this year?
Orlando. Shout out to Orlando.
How many matches against Mox can Bryan Danielson's neck take?
Two.
Okay.
That's wishful
that's
thinking.
The number.
Just two. I can't listen. So you're gonna end your career losing to John Moxley. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Listen, John Moxley, the guy that really is the heart and soul of the company, at least one of the guys is heart and soul of the company. But man, is that the story you want to tell? Him getting brutalized and have his neck broke by John Moxley? Not a classic wrestling match to end his career, huh? Because that's not a classic wrestling match.
No, that is brawl. That's a brawl, brother.
It just feels too WWE-like to do it in his hometown. Like you said, Gabe, like it's just, I don't know.
But he
doesn't need
to
wrestle every week.
He gets to say goodbye to his hometown on his own terms. Like if he loses at Wrestle Dream, that was Bryan Danielson's plan and design.
Yeah.
I mean, we can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I fully believe that Bryan Danielson is in full control of the creative on his way out the door.
I would say mainly control, because I think if he was in control, he's going to drop it on like a battle of the belts. Like, I feel like there needs to be some sort of checks and balances there.
He's going to drop it on Rampage.
Right.
That's not even a Grand Slam Rampage. It's a Rampage they taped last Saturday.
And it's not on TV. It's a Rampage that's already been canceled. Like, they just happened to tape it that night.
He drops it on Rampage against Nebraska, against Illinois.
Right.
And no one knows about it. What? What happened?
They're in Nebraska that night.
Wait, why? Yeah, where's Danielson? Where's the championship? Well,
we have something to tell you.
And
he insisted that we bring back Dark on YouTube.
And what's so great about that is Gabe will be the only one of the three of us that just would see it.
Texting on a Friday night. Guys, you won't believe it.
Guys, you need to watch this. What?
Figure out where it is on your DVRs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so, God, Bryan Danielson means so much to the company, but yet it's still murky. He's the champion. We know his career is ending, but we don't know who's going to drop the title to him, because if there was a clear story, we could see it. So it's not going to be Darby. I thought Darby took so much punishment that it was going to be a roll-up win for him, quite frankly.
Right.
I sat in traffic and just watched this thing. I was like, man, maybe it's going to be a roll-up because of all the punishment. No, not only did Darby get his ass kicked, but also lost. Okay, so that's bad for him. But John Moxley to end his career, I can't see anyone else now. Like, I saw Prince Nana out there. He says that Swerve's on the mend. I'd like to see that come back, Swerve and Bryan Danielson. Can we get that at World's End or not?
I don't know. The rest of the pay-per-view schedule, by the way, after Wrestle Dream, you got Full Gear late November in New Jersey, and then World's End late December in Orlando, December 28th. So really late in the year.
Full Gear is for an MJF pay-per-view because that's his area. That's when that he'd be on that card doing something meaningful.
December 2024, ROH Final Battle. That could be a Brian spot.
What are you doing there?
I mean, if we're saying Brian ideas, he could throw that out there. No?
That would be hilarious. That's how you do it. You know, I'm doing on ROH. What?
I can see Tony Khan getting worked. Fine. I don't care. Right. Brian, just fine. Just do it. Fine. I just leave me alone, man.
His last match called by Ian Riccoboni. Yep, I can see
right,
it.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know. I still, to me, the landmark is still Japan. I think he somehow gets there. What so even if he just does pay-per-views, that's three more matches.
Oh, God.
Don't put him on any, like, he can do promos, but no matches, just the pay-per-views. That Wrestle Dynasty, I think they're calling it. Yeah, Wrestle Dynasty, January 5th, Tokyo Dome.
I don't think that's what, do they call it Wrestle Dynasty? I don't think
that's
what
the Google says.
Wrestle Dynasty, okay.
So you're telling me that Tony Khan is going to be cool with his championship being dropped at, what's the time difference there? 4 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Eastern.
It's Tony Khan, yes.
The one thing they've actually done a pretty good job of is protecting that AEW championship.
Yeah, but like the other shows are going to be up against college football, some against the NFL. Like, those
yeah, that's just the way it is. Well, then, yeah, but at least you have the option of actually seeing that, you know, people are going to be sleeping. They're not even going to see it on social media. They're going to have to accidentally click on the For You portion of Twitter.
Good point.
So you have them dropping it at the Tokyo Dome. Is that
yes. One more shot. So three more matches. I'm only asking three matches.
But, I mean, you know, who's he dropping it to there? Ishii?
Got him.
Okay, damn it. You know what? I shouldn't have said it because now he likes
you put it.
It
out there. God, put it out there. I mean,
that's on me, Hood. That's on me. I thought I was in a safe space to make a joke, and apparently I wasn't. That's on me.
I was down for it. I understood the joke, but this guy here.
Yeah, no, he.
I think you're looking for
the headbutt.
Brian, I think you're looking for Wrestle Kingdom. Is that what you mean?
No, like it's the AEW one that they're running. Like it's right after Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, well.
Remember they're promoting, it's them, New Japan, Stardom will be part of it. They list ROH and CMLL, so everyone's a part of it. It's the night after Wrestle Kingdom.
I see. I see. So. I just don't know against who. That's all. Okada? Man. I mean, it's supposed. I mean, this is 2025 should be the year of Will Ospreay, the dumbest babyface in the history of the business.
Yeah, I don't.
Jesus! So you're gonna ruin every match because I don't want. Hey, bruv, I don't want to take the screwdriver. I don't want the screwdriver, bruv. Like,
hey,
again,
he wants to win the right way.
That's right.
The dumbass babyface. just take the screwdriver. Just do it.
He can be a tag champ right now.
Could be a double champ.
That's right.
That was a hell of a match. Champ. I think that was my favorite match I saw.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Busted their ass, man. That was so much fun. Man. Young Bucks can still give you a 5-star anytime. Anytime you want it.
You brought it up, so let's just, let's dive into it right now. Let's do matches of the week.
That was my favorite match on Wednesday night.
Yeah. I agree. I thought, like, you know, I wanted to see the Bucks go back to old school Bucks, not just go through the motions. And that's what they did tonight. That was fun to watch those four in the ring.
That was a classic Young Bucks match. Hopefully that gets them back on track. I don't know who challenges next. I don't know if it's FTR. I don't know whoever it is. I hope we get more of that out of the Young Bucks. Let's say, I mean, they're the not so young Bucks anymore. So maybe expecting that out of them all the time is unrealistic, but at least in the big matches, in the pay-per-view matches, I hope we see more of that.
You know, it's the Triple H era when you see a title change of any sort on TV, just for Jey Uso to win. I know that some people are sour that Bron Breakker lost. Like, don't worry about Bron Breakker. He'll be
fine. Right. And that was purely shocking. I did not see it coming. And they did the near fall with him early where you thought he might. And that's like, okay, no, they're not. They're not actually going to. Holy shit, they actually did it.
On TV, on a Raw and or like Joe Tess, once again, understanding the moment, big time call, like that dude gets it.
Yeah. Get
Do you think that they do more title changes on Raw because of Joe Tess? Because Tessitore is not going to be doing the pay-per-views, at least not like during college football season.
Right. He added a lot to that moment. Because to your point, Gabe, about it being, you know, on Raw, it's not going to happen. The fact that it's not even the Raw of a pay-per-view week. Like, usually those, like, pay-per-view quality matches they put on the week of. It's like, oh, we're not going to load the card. We'll do it that week. This is 2 weeks before the pay-per-view. But Tess added so much to that match. Mm. And you saw him on his feet at the end of it. Like, he was invested. That was awesome to see.
He's thinking Monday Night Raw in Ontario, California, or call Jacksonville Buffalo. As half of the Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Football crew. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, you got to see Jey Uso pull off the win. From SmackDown, Andrade and LA Knight was really good. Like, that was other than the promo, or I don't even know what to call the segment that we got between Cody and Roman.
The mini movie? I don't know. What do you call that?
I don't know. Vignettes? That doesn't even seem right.
It's WWE cinema.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking it. It was very good. I just don't know what to call it. I don't know what the name is because they haven't done a lot of that.
Yeah. I'll also throw in from Monday, Sammy and Ludwig. I don't know if we've seen Kaiser win a match. I couldn't tell you the last time he won a match, but those two getting a chance to go, they delivered.
The SmackDown. What did you say for SmackDown, Gabe?
LA Knight versus Andrade, Andrade just continues to deliver. Like, the dude is just delivering great match after great match on SmackDown. He's like, he's basically, and they're like putting him at the beginning of every SmackDown. He's basically the Orange Cassidy of SmackDown. Like, they're just going to put him out first. He's going to deliver a great match, and then we're going to have the rest of the show.
What a compliment.
Apparently there's a conglomerate there too.
Well, that, I mean, especially when Orange was international champion, like, it just seemed like he was starting off every Dynamite. We were hearing, you know, we were going to hear his theme music, and if it didn't, it's like, oh, what's going on? What's wrong with Orange this week? He's not defending that? He's not wrestling this week? What's going on? But that's what Andrade's been, man. Like, he's just been putting on great match after great match on SmackDown.
Just a short tip for LA Knight. Hey, brother, you know how old he is? You know he's over 40, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, man, you don't have to do, like, the off-the-top rope stuff all the time. Just give us one.
Yeah.
You saw at the end of the match, slipping off the top rope. Hey, man, you're too old for that shit. Yeah.
What was that handshake thing, by the way? With them?
Like,
that was awkward, too. Yeah.
What are we doing here?
I didn't like him slipping off the top rope because I've seen that several times with him.
Caddy and a golfer.
What I would say is just one off the top rope. Otherwise, stay on the floor. Stay on the mat. I just thought that slipping took a little bit off the match for me because you gotta be as perfect as possible. And I think that was an unnecessary move.
Hood, I'll also give you another tag match from Saturday. The Kingdom versus Sammy and Dustin.
Brother.
Bunkhouse match.
That started off Collision, and that was a banger. What a terrific match that was. Dustin Rhodes at age 56, still bleeding like his dad.
Dustin's ageless. I wouldn't believe that he's 56.
I mean, yeah, he's in his mid-50s. Like, he's still getting it done. It's strange bedfellow tag team, but that was a great way to start Collision in Wilkes-Barre. It's very good.
Yep.
Is Dustin ever going to retire? I thought he was, like, retiring soon. Didn't he say... I mean, like, it feels like his entrance on the Jumbotron says one last ride. It feels like it's been that way for 3 years.
Yeah. So that he is wrestling and then putting the headset on and producing. I'm like, all right, guys, good match for me. Here we go.
He's just back there with his paint all messed up on his face after wrestling. Just
headset on. All right, guys, here we go. Take the headset off, for God's sakes. It's like Tony Khan is making sure that Dustin doesn't go to WWE. So that's why he keeps him on.
He gave him two belts to make him happy. He's a multi-champ over there in Ring of Honor.
He was crying in one promo I saw on Twitter. I'm like, he's crying because he can't believe he's a champion at this age.
Twice. He's got two. He's half of the tag champs and the trio champs.
That's bananas. It's bananas.
He's got a lot of stuff going on.
Right, yeah. One of the fresh young faces on Ring of Honor.
Fresh young face, yes. Very good.
Well, half of it, at least. What do we got at News and Notes this week, Brian?
All right, you talk about SmackDown making some changes. We know Raw will go to 2 hours October 7th. Well, now we learned starting January 3rd of 2025, SmackDown on USA will be moving to 3 hours moving forward after that.
Well, it seems like that's up in the air. Like, it's still being negotiated depending upon where you look. Like, it's not completely finalized. Maybe they go to 3 hours. I'm hoping they don't go to 3 hours. I'm hoping they keep it a nice, tidy two-hour show.
No one's watching in that third hour if they do. You know how we know? Rampage.
Good point.
I'm just talking about, like, for Gabe, it's cool on the DVR to watch it Saturday morning, like the rest. Sure. But the idea that someone's going to watch instead of the late college football game, the late college basketball game, the Major League Baseball game, no, they'll watch two. But then that third hour, it's not going to work.
Ooh, SmackDown Underground. That's what I feel.
That's right, Shane.
It dropped today on Netflix, the Mr. McMahon documentary. Well, according to Dave Meltzer, Vince tried buying the series back from Netflix after seeing an early copy. His plan was then to try and kill it. Netflix, as you can imagine, said no. Vince put out a statement this week criticizing the series and asking fans to have an open mind while watching the 6 episodes.
What a statement. Like, oh, you know, a lot of people confuse Mr. McMahon, the character, for me, but we're two different people. Yeah, sure you are, bud. Whatever you want to tell yourself, go for it. Not shocking that Vince tried to buy it. That's not shocking, and I'm glad Netflix didn't sell it to him. I can't wait to see the whole thing.
There will be special podcasts that will be done around this. I saw the first couple of episodes. There's a lot of holes to poke in it already. But not to spoil it for anybody, but the one thing that the three of us talked about is, would it be authentic? Would it tell you the truth? And I'll just tell you, the Janelle Grant story hits you right in the face early. And you would think that's down the line, like 5 or 6. Just be prepared. Just be braced. That lawsuit that's still ongoing is early in the documentary in the first episode. So it's not one of those things. I thought I said it might be a puff piece when we first talked about it. Not so much.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him somehow looking sympathetic at the end of it. The minute he put this statement out, I was that much more interested. I'm like, oh, he's pissed off about it? Like, now I'm in. Like, I wasn't concerned anymore after he came out ahead of it coming out. Like, no, this isn't true. Bad editing. I'm like, all right, so we're telling some truths here. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So good on him for promoting.
Thanks for doing your part, Vince.
Some free agency news. Fightful Select reports Rusev has requested his AEW release. He has not been in AEW ring since World's End back in December.
Where's he going to go? I don't think Hunter wants him back.
I think he does.
Does he? They never did anything with him when he was there.
That's when Vince was there.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, it seems like they were happy to let him walk out the door, and now AEW is going to be happy to let him walk out the door. Like, there just been so many he doesn't want to lose rumors out there where, man, every once in a while, your shoulders got to be on the mat. You got to be looking up at the lights.
Well, he's a friend of the program. Let's put it back on and ask him.
Yeah, well, I feel like he would tell us flat out.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good interview. We helped him with his tech issues. We finally got Gabe helped him just knit one, pearl two, make sure he had the whole thing there, and it was fine. And so we got him on. So I think he tells the truth. I think he could. I just think the whole Rusev Day thing got over. So if anything else, but as a babyface, merchandise, all that, good mid-card act, I think that he'd be welcome to come back. I really do.
Finally, news and notes. Okay.
Rusev, I mean, but I don't know what he does. Like, you already did the Rusev Day thing. Like, I don't see him getting over even as a mid-card guy in WWE anymore.
I mean, we saw what he can do in the ring, though. Like, me? That gets him over. Yeah, me. Yeah. They didn't capitalize on that, though.
That's AEW.
Well, that's AEW.
So finally, sticking with AEW, Cash Wheeler dealt with his legal issues about a year ago. In an interview with AEW Close Up, he says he thought about walking away. He says he didn't want to subject Dax to all the backlash on social media. He said, I'm done with wrestling. I'm going to walk away. Obviously, he changed his mind there.
Dax didn't care. He was on his singles. It's like he couldn't give a damn.
You do you, bud. Ah.
At some point, Dax wanted to win again, didn't he? I mean, I don't think Dax has ever won a singles match.
He, you notice it. He didn't step
put on banger after banger, but like 0-16. He's like the, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll end Brian.
Yeah, he didn't care. It's like, hey, you got your own issues. I'm coming out because I'm Brett. That's what he thinks. He Dax thinks he's Brett.
He performs like him.
Oh, sure. Oh. Have him tell it. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Have him tell the story. He is Brett.
That is fair.
Stung up the Brett tribute matches, that's for sure. Oh. Hey, it was a fun.
What about Busted Open? I'm on Busted Open on Sundays, you know.
That you are. On the Sirius... one that we're confused. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Sirius XM every Sunday. So Good Karma Wrestling, not only on Thursdays, but also it carries over to Sundays as we talk pro wrestling on from 9 to noon Eastern on Channel 156.
Boom.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of things to talk about. I'm curious to see how on Friday night they follow up the Cody Roman segment, which was a lot of fun. I'm really curious to see how they do that. I'm curious to see what happens on Collision as they try to start building up a little bit more momentum as we start building towards those October pay-per-views. Bad Blood coming up October 5th, Wrestle Dream on October 12th. And as we get ready for them, the one thing I know for sure is we're going to be talking about them right here next week on GKW.